Thomas to tell us about emotional sobriety.
Hi, I'm Thomas. Hi, I'm Thomas, alcoholic. I just got to tell you guys, this is my first YPOT, and I was super stoked to get one of those. So that means the world to me. So like I said, my name is Thomas. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is December 1st, 2000. My home group is the Capital City Group. I'm from Olympia, Washington. My home group is Capital City. It meets Mondays and Thursdays at 6:30 at the United Churches. If any of you ever end up in Olympia, Washington, please come say hi. It is a wonderful, amazing, enthusiastic group. And I also encourage if your home group isn't a very enthusiastic home group, get one. You know, that's just my experience. Like it's part of what has kept me connected in Alcoholics Anonymous is having a very live, active home group and being a part of that home group. We take meetings into detox facilities, into jails and prisons, and it's a great part of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my job is to talk to you a little bit about emotional sobriety, and the only way that I know how to do that through my sobriety has been through my experiences, and most of them have not been good. So most of the times that's how I learn. I learn like a lot of you through experience, you know. I'll kind of do a little stuff to qualify myself as an alcoholic, you know. So I got sober in New Orleans, which is where I spent most of my sobriety before I moved up to the Pacific Northwest. And on my path into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in a traumatic car crash. I was in a coma for a week. I woke up out of that coma, and like I've also heard other speakers talk about, I kind of had that moment where I was like, you know, maybe I need to change the direction of my life. And that lasted for about a week, and then I went on another run. And stayed pretty much drunk or high for the next rest of the year. My last drink was in October of 2000, and that was a half a Heineken. And the only reason why I was a half a Heineken was because I was on Anabuse, and so I started to get those hives. For those of you who have drank on Anabuse, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you start kind of breaking out, you know. And it was not the first time I drank on Anabuse, but I was with some people who just kind of gave me that look of despair and like, dude, just stop, like just fucking give it up already, you know. And so I dabbled with some of the other outside stuff before I got kicked out of treatment for the third time and started kind of my path. So emotional sobriety is like a funny thing, right? Because Bill talks about it as like this, like the last frontier, right? Or like this like place that you kind of get to, right? My experience has not really been like that. My experience is like what my sponsor likes to say, like you don't know till you know, right? And nobody works on a problem they don't have, right? And I think just like a lot of us with alcoholism, like none of us come into AA being like, you know, I was doing fine in all these other areas of life, you know, and I just thought I'd kind of start going to meetings and talking about myself for a while. You know, like that's not really what happened, you know? So for me, emotional sobriety is it's not even like another frontier. It's a place that I kind of arrive to when I become self-aware. And I think part of the spiritual awakening is becoming in tune with that. You know, I've had this kind of weird experience recently of kind of trusting in God more, right? And what that looks like. And so the big book for me tells me that that, you know, God is everything or nothing, right? And I get to make that decision, right? And for me, when I give my emotions to God, right? When I give the people who are in my life, when I give all of it to this creative intelligence of the universe that kind of underlines everything, then I start to believe that everything is in divine order, right? And if everything's in divine order, then I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, with exactly what the people I'm supposed to be with, doing the exact same thing that I'm supposed to be doing, right? And that's a pretty powerful spiritual exercise that happens to me. And that, I think, is part of emotional sobriety for me, is kind of being connected on a deeper level and knowing that I'm supposed to be present in your life too. I'll read a little something, and by the way, I totally forgot my timer, so you've got to like kind of keep me in check over here. So cool. I'll read something out of the 12 and 12 that I think kind of might touch on what I'm talking about. So today's spot check inventory, spot check finds its chief application to situations which arise in each day's march. The consideration of long-standing difficulties had better be postponed, when possible, to times deliberately set aside for that purpose. The quick inventories aimed at our daily ups and downs, especially those where people or new events throw us off balance and tempt us to make mistakes. In all these situations, we need self-restraint, honest analysis of what is involved, a willingness to admit when the fault is ours, and an equal willingness to forgive when the fault is elsewhere. We need not be discouraged when we fall into the error of our old ways, for these disciplines are not easy. We shall look for progress, not for perfection. So growing spiritually for me is the same thing for me as growing emotionally, right? I turn my thought life over to God, right? And it talks about it in the 10th step as one of the promises, right? Like, we pause when agitated or doubtful, you know? And I don't know about you guys, but when I came into sobriety, and honestly for years afterwards, I was always agitated or doubtful. Like, there was always something that I was either questioning myself, stuck in self, or I lived my life agitated, you know? And so I think for emotional sobriety for me is, I heard somebody give a talk one time, and they talked about the spiritual principle of pause, and they talked about the spiritual principle of not just restraint of pen and tongue, but like also this idea of being on time, right? Like absolutely being present. And what that looked like for me was, I remember the first Thanksgiving I was at coming up on a year, and I was at this event with my family, you know, and this guy, he was my uncle, and he's no longer my uncle because he married out of the family, or there was a lot of weird stuff there, but he was my uncle, you know, and he sat down and we had a conversation together, right? And I remember sitting with him, and he was like, man, this is so great to talk to you. And I remember thinking, dude, I'm at every Thanksgiving, like, it's not new information, right? Like, I'm always here. But I remember the way he said it implied, which was an accurate assessment, his assessment of me implied that I was not present in the conversation when I was there, you know? And the reality, too, was when I was drinking. Now, I got sober in New Orleans, and I had been drinking. When I turned 21, I basically had been drinking at the same bar and sticking needles in my arm at the same bar for about 3 years already. And then I crashed in here at 23. But what happened with this uncle, though, that just reminded me, because I always had someplace else to be, right? I always had someplace else. Is that 5 minutes, or is that? Oh, 5 minutes left. Thank you. And so I always had someplace else to be, and there was always something else going on, you know. How that looks like to me is, I kind of joke around with people that I sponsor. Sometimes I'm literally as spiritually fit as when I do my morning meditation and I have my quiet time and my 5-year-old son kicks in the door and runs into my lap, right? That's about as spiritually fit as I am on that day, right? Because most of my initial reaction is never pleasant and calm. And when I'm in the right state of mind, when I have the ability to kind of be present for that experience, then I get to experience it, right? And I remember talking to my, I'll share a couple more stories as I have time. It's not this elusive thing, right? But it's like trusting in this creative intelligence that everything's supposed to be the way it is, you know? And I remember one time I was super agitated, and I think it was Scott Redmond that used to talk about showing up at your sobriety stations, right? And he would talk about these sobriety stations of like being with your kids, you know, at the ball games and doing this stuff, right? And I remember my kid was like, you know, we had adopted him out of foster care, and he was about 2 or 3 and was just crying. It was hysterical, right? And I remember I didn't know what to do. And obviously, like, a lot of you know, you don't scream at a kid, right? It's not what helps them, you know? And I grew up in a house with a lot of violence, and there was a lot of things getting thrown around. And so, like, what I came into the table with is a lot of violence and a lot of verbal aggression and a lot of that stuff, right? And I remember I was trying to buckle him in. He wouldn't buckle me. And I popped him in the mouth one time, right? And maybe he might have been a little bit older than 2. He might have been like 3. It doesn't matter. But what happened, and I stepped away, and I was like, babe, and I looked over my wife, and I said, you got to handle this. You know, like, I am not equipped for this. And I share that partly because I went to my sponsor that night, you know, and I was like, I don't want to be this guy, right? Like, I don't want to be the guy who, like, hits his son because he doesn't listen to me, right? And part of my emotional sobriety is, you know, like I mentioned a while ago, like, nobody works on a problem they don't have, right? So the ability for me to be different and act in a different way requires effort on my part, right? It requires me to turn this over to God, right? And actually the gentleman at the emotional sobriety panel, oh, thank you, just came in, talked about this, when I turn it all over, right? When I give my emotional life to my creator, when I give my children, my children, I have one son, my son to my creator, right? I'm trying to be rigorously honest here, right? When I trust that my wife is a child of God, right? Like when I do all these things, then I see people differently, right? And I see them with new eyes, and they're spiritual eyes. And I don't have that ability to do that on my own. Like I just don't, right? Like I came in here ill-equipped for a lot of the stuff that happens in life. And for me, emotional sobriety is about restraint. It's about pausing. It's about kind of increasing that pause button, right? And trusting, because I get like it's stuck in my head, and I get these ideas about like, you know, and I know you know, like it's not supposed to be this way, you know, and then what I've learned to do is just be present, right? Like, and it was funny because what brought me up here, I'll say this funny thing is you know, so Sammy is the speaker tonight, and I happen to have the pleasure of sponsoring him. And he told me that he was going to come out to this thing, and I instinctively, and I don't know why, I just trusted. I was like, you want me to go with you? Like, it'd be fun. Like, be a great event, you know? And so we did it, you know? And so we go to this restaurant today that somebody recommended. I'm totally wrapping up with this. And somebody recommended this restaurant. So we show up there today, and then we get in there. There's no wait. We show up and the food comes. And I know what it's like to have that like parking lot God, when you think that like God just kind of presents you with these things, you know? And he looks right over to me. He says, I guess we were on time. You know, and it was powerful, right? Because what I know is that when I'm on time to my life as a sober man, like the stuff just kind of shows up, right? And then I have the ability to be there with it when it does, right? Like, I don't believe that, you know, she's my wife or it's my house or he's my kid or that my job is my job, right? My job is to be of service, right? And when I'm available to that, everything else just kind of works itself out, you know? I hope any of that made sense. I'm super excited to be here with all of you guys. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to welcome Mackie, share her experience.
Oh, I forgot my phone too, Liz, so let me know. Even though I had it all ready for a timer. And I'm like way too short for this thing. I'm Mackie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mackie. We love you, Mackie. Lots and lots and lots.
Give it to me. Fuck yeah, I love that. So yeah, alcoholic, man. My sobriety day is July 13th of 2011. Crazy thing is I got sober at 18 years old, and that was not my plan, you know, not my plan at all. Even by the time I got to the rehab, all that stuff, I still was like, I'm gonna smoke weed till I fucking die, you know? Like, it's crazy how this disease works. And when I got asked to speak on an emotional sobriety panel, I was just like, oh yeah, I'll tell my story, cool, you know? And then they were like, no, it's 15 minutes on emotional sobriety. And I was like, oh shit, like what am I gonna talk about, you know? And it's like, I'm such an emotional person, I have so much to talk about, is the reality. And I was thinking about it as I was sitting there, and I was praying to just like be used, and whatever is supposed to come out is gonna come out. And I thought about what got me sober, you know, what got me in the rooms. And it was because of emotions, you know? It wasn't because of the things that were happening in these outside experiences. That is not what got me to the point of being broken enough to be willing enough to do whatever I needed to do to change my fucking life, you know? And I guess a little bit to qualify, I drank, I got high every day. That was the most important thing to me. At first it was fun. It was something fun to do and party. And then it became something that I needed to do. I needed to do to survive. I needed to do to get up and do anything. I needed to drink. I needed to get high. That came first no matter what, because I could not be inside my own body. Like, I could not feel what was going on in here because I wanted to die, you know? And my bottom was a pretty emotional experience. I was, you know, running and gunning, got involved in a lot of really bad stuff at a young age. And my bottom was getting raped, getting pregnant from that rape, the guy wanting to kill me if I didn't have the baby. And I ended up getting an abortion. And I'm not telling you this as like a pity story. I'm telling you this because this is the insanity of my life. That was not the first time I was raped, not the last time. So that was not what got me sober. You know, that was not the bottom part. the bottom was when I went and got that abortion, when I knew I was pregnant, when I went and got the abortion, and I'm still drinking, I'm still getting high, I'm still doing anything in the fucking world to not feel what I'm feeling inside, and the drugs and alcohol stopped working. Like, I would not be here if they still worked for me, you know, because I was at that point, that desperation, that just disgust and hopelessness, that like nothing could take it away. I would get up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror and just fucking crumble. And I was still trying to drink. I was still trying to get high. I was still trying to do anything that I could to not feel that shit. And, you know, someone told me that that hopelessness that I felt was the biggest gift that I've ever been given. And I wanted to punch her in the fucking face, you know, because I was like, I'm sitting here crying my eyes out, want to die. And you're telling me this is a gift, you know? And today, like, I work with a lot of newcomers and I love that moment. Like, I know they're in pain. I'm like, yeah, that fucking sucks. But like, this is the gift, you know? And they're like, I fucking hate you. But it like, it really is the gift, because I have to hit that place of desperation where I'm willing to do absolutely anything to change, you know? Like, this is not a half-assed program. It doesn't work that way. Not for me, at least. And emotional sobriety, man, for me, it's about leaning the fuck in. It's about leaning in and having to feel this stuff. And I'll tell you, early in my sobriety, it was really important for me not to get so deep in the emotions. Like, it was very kind of black and white, where it was like, do a four-step, pray, you know, resentment is going to kill you, and like blah, 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 blah. So I would like immediately have to get into some kind of solution, because I was at such a fragile point that like I needed that. Like, I couldn't sit in that because it would take me back out, you know. But today, with like some years sober, the emotional sobriety for me is no longer trying to jump into some kind of solution to get out of what I'm feeling. Today, it's about leaning into those feelings. Today, it's about allowing myself to be angry, to be afraid, to be sad, to feel broken, and to allow myself to go there and lean into that. Know that I'm safe and that I'm okay to do that, because I have a God that loves me and that it's coming up for a reason, you know, and nurture and love myself through that and let it heal me, you know, because those painful spots, oh, it just gave me goosebumps. That's weird. Give myself goosebumps. Funny. Awkward. But that pain, right, that stuff that we all run from, like basically the reason that I drank and used was because I hated to feel. But today I know it's the only way that I get to heal, that I get to be free, is by leaning in, by allowing myself to go to those dark places, by allowing myself to let those demons out, bring them to a table and have a cup of tea with them and let them fucking heal me, you know, because there's no part of me that's bad anymore. You know, there's always parts of me to continue to work on, to continue to grow, and to really just, like, most importantly, love myself through it. Like, it's not about anybody else. The most important relationship in my relationships today is with me and with God. Because that sets the tone for all of my relationships. If I'm okay with me, I'm okay with you. You know, if I'm okay with me, I'm not having to make amends to you all the damn time for acting out, you know? And I still fuck up. I still can be a dick. I have to make amends to my boyfriend all the time for being a jerk, you know? I have to, you know, I get angry. I hate my coworker or something, you know? But whenever that happens, I allow myself to feel that shit, because I know for me today, if I'm like, I'm not allowed to be angry, you know, this will kill me. It's like, no, that's a fucking cop out. It's not going to kill you today. The reality is you need to feel it, because if I repress it, like if I push it down, because that's what I'm good at, that's what I knew to do. Like, that's why I use drugs and alcohol, was to push it down. But today, if I keep pushing it down and I keep pushing it down, that will get me high. Like, one of the best things that I learned in recovery was I don't show up to meetings to look good. I don't show up to meetings to pretend that everything's okay. You know, I don't care how much time I have. I'm going to be real about what's going on in my life, because if I'm not real about what's going on inside of here, I will fucking die. You know, and I have a women's group that I am so grateful for, because there's women with like 25 years, you know, and all this time that I put on a pedestal, and they're the ones that teach me, no, we come in and we get real, and they talk about the hard stuff, and we carry each other. That's the gift of this deal. We carry each other. When you don't feel like you can walk, we will carry you. And thank God we don't all feel that on the same day, you know, but I allow myself to feel that. I allow myself to feel these feelings because there's gifts in it. You know, I get to, like, anger was something I was so terrified of, because in my household, anger came with violence and abuse and all of this different stuff. And today I get to allow myself to feel safe enough to feel that and let myself teach people how to treat me and how I treat myself and say what's okay and what's not okay. I'm no longer this broken, scared little girl, you know, that's covering it all up with being this tough, bad bitch, you know, like, and that's a part of me. I'm so sassy as fuck. And like, that's cool with me because I'm learning to really love all those different parts, you know, that all of it's okay. All of it's beautiful, you know, that like, I can sit and cry and shake it out and like do all that stuff. My boyfriend will just like continue to do whatever he's doing. And I'm like in a ball on my couch. And then like after it, I'm like, all right, I'm good now, you know? And I was working with this guy, and he is 40 years sober, but I was going to him for some outside help. And I'm just going to throw it out here. I know we're in AA right now and all that stuff, but do not feel fucking ashamed to get help. Like, I hate that shit. Like, AA is beautiful and great, and it continues to help me to peel the layers. But if you need some extra help, like, there is no shame in that. None, man. Like, honor and love yourself. But like, so I was doing some like heavy duty trauma work with this guy, man. And like, I was barely leaving the house. I would go and show up to my job as a counselor and then literally come back from my job where I'm supposed to help people and come back and just like shake and cry and not be able to be seen. And I remember I called my therapist and I was like, you know, and he is 40 years sober. He's a vet. He's super intense. Jeff knows who I'm talking about. And I called him. I was like, I'm in so much pain. I can't handle it. Like, it's too much and I can't handle this. And he was like, you hit your fucking knees. You lean in. You ask God to teach you what he's trying to teach you. Lean the fuck in. Let it heal you. And I was like, okay, you know, and like, I have almost 8 years sober. And this was like a year ago. You know what I mean? So, like, we don't have it all together. I will never pretend that. And I will not pretend that this shit is easy either. Like, emotional sobriety is not easy because life happens and life can be really hard. But the beautiful part about it is that I know, like, to my deepest core and truth, which is the beautiful thing, because I get to find those in sobriety, what my spiritual truths are instead of the lies in my head and my disease, that if I really lean in and feel this stuff, even if it's hard, even if it's so gut-wrenching, painful, that it will heal me, that it will lead me to a deeper sense of freedom, a deeper sense of self-love, a deeper sense of just love for others, and so much gratitude. So even when I'm in it, man, like in the shit, oh, thank God I looked over. I haven't even looked at you once. Even when I'm in the shit, man, like I know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. So it makes me willing to feel that stuff because I know God's there with me. And I know that if I have my hand in the women of AA and the guys sometimes, you guys are right, not so afraid of you anymore, that I get to continue to heal. You know, so if you're new or if you're coming back or wherever you are in your program, man, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. But I just always tell people to give yourself a chance, that, you know, drugs, alcohol, women, men, whatever your thing is. And usually we have a lot of things. I know I do. Lots of programs. Just give yourself a chance. Like, none of that stuff is ever going anywhere, the drugs, the alcohol, whatever. So why not give yourself a chance? Go through the steps to the best of your ability. And if you still feel just as shitty as you do when you begin, God bless you. Like, all that stuff is still there waiting for you, you know? Give yourself a chance. You're worth it. And if you don't believe it yet, that's okay. We will love you until you believe it, you know? And every day we just get to continue. I believe, like, sobriety is a journey home. It's not like I need to become something. It's that I need to let go of all the things that aren't true to come back home to the truth of who I am, which is that I'm perfect, whole, and complete exactly as I am. That's my truth. So yeah, I think that's all I really have. Thanks for letting me share.